Good morning. Those of you who know me know that I'm way out of my comfort zone today. I could sing all day, but speaking is not where I'm comfortable. I want to start by talking about my nephew, Tony David Chambers, because that's where the title of this sermon came from today. I'm going to go back a few years. I remember that when he got out of high school, I believe he went to Fountain View Academy in Canada. He was spending some time in New York City, and he'd been there for a while, and he was on his way home to visit his parents. And he stopped at our house for the night, and the whole evening he talked about his love for helping the homeless in New York and how he missed that so much. I don't even remember why he was in New York. I think he was going to school. The only thing he could talk about was how much he loved helping the homeless, and he wished he could go back. He wished he could afford to go back and work there. I'm going to fast forward a few years to 2 years ago. He was living in Napa, California, and again, he was helping people. When I joined up for Facebook, you know, you get to reconnect with some of your family, and I hadn't seen or talked to Tony in a long time, but I became friends with Tony on Facebook. And on his Facebook, I saw him with his arms around several of his homeless friends. And there were 27 pictures there. And the title to that album of the 27 pictures was, Going About My Father's Business. And another post was for his birthday. Somebody said, Happy birthday, Tony. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you continue to shine the love of God. It inspires me. Another post was on August 11, 2010. He posted, If the Holy Comforter can't comfort us, we have bigger problems. Here's hoping that all your greatest needs are totally met in Christ's sufficient name today. Love ya. A few months after that post, Tony was shot and killed. He was trying to help his friends. It was a domestic fight, and he was doing what Tony did. He was trying to help. He died along with two of his friends. One of them was the shooter. This all happened on Mother's Day of 2011. And we made the trip to California for his memorial service. And during that service, the pastor said that he had been trying to find just one word that would define Tony. Said it took him a few days, but the word that he came up with was consumed. He was consumed with God. Tony was consumed with God. Isn't that how we would all like to be remembered? Well, that has stuck with me, and it's made me think long and hard. Are you consumed with God? What an intriguing and life-changing question. Or is God just another contact on your Rolodex of life that you mean to catch up with, and you mean to try to fit him into your schedule? But the busyness of life has swept away that opportunity. It is unfortunate to say, but most of us are more consumed with our grocery list than we are with being consumed with God. God has pressed this question into the very fiber of my soul. And if I examine my life with an open and honest eye, I would have to say that I have fallen woefully short of being consumed with God. We are consumed with our television, we're consumed with our music, we're consumed with our movies, we're consumed with our schedules, we're consumed with our careers, we're consumed with politics, we're consumed with our health, we're consumed with our success, but how many of us are consumed with God? Let's face it, we're just too busy for our Creator. And we would rather spend time on our computers or going out to eat or whatever else we like to do than being in the throne room of the living God, becoming intimate and acquainted with God Almighty. Just think of all the people we'd offend if we were consumed with God. We'd be labeled a wacko, a religious nut, an intolerant fool, or a misguided idiot if we dared to be consumed with God. We have so evolved in culture, science, and behavior that we just don't need to be consumed with God anymore, or so we're told. Who needs God anymore as long as I have my iPod? Who needs God when I have the world at my fingertips from my computer in my cozy house? Who needs God when I have Netflix, iTunes, Droid X, and Xbox? Who needs God when I can TiVo? God has to be more than just on our mailing list. God has to be more than just on our wish list. God has to be a living, burning force in the depths of our heart. God has to be more alive, more real, more present, more close, and more looked to than any earthly thing. An electronic device may fascinate you for a moment, but it can never bring you peace, joy, or true satisfaction. It's a sad characteristic to this enlightened world that God is so dead in the hearts of people. We have a whole religious culture in society today, but God is most often a million miles away, as its heartbeat long ago quit being synchronized to the heartbeat of God. Unfortunately, there is no place where God may be deader than in the church. I want to read that again. Unfortunately, there is no place where God may be deader than in the church. We rationalize that we go to church for 60 minutes a week and offer sporadic 30-second prayers to God throughout the week, and that is enough, as I'm overwhelmed with everything I have to do. My schedule is packed. You just don't understand. It's sad to say that there are 10,080 minutes in a week and 524,160 minutes in a year, and we think we're doing God a favor if we spend 60 minutes of over the 10,000 minutes a week for Him, or 3,000 minutes a year of over the 500,000 available. Wow. We're spending 0.5% of our time with God, and we wonder why spiritual anemia and lack are rampant in our lives. We wonder why God just is not all that real to us, and why we're lacking the demonstration of the power of God in our lives. We wonder why our heart is dead to God. God must become more to us than a fleeting thought or a desperate prayer when we're in trouble. God must become our life. God must become our passion. God must become what we chase after with an unrelenting tenacity of heart and soul. I dare you to be consumed with God and see how God will move to transform your life into the realm of the miraculous, the amazing, and the extraordinary. Nothing compares to God, absolutely nothing. Nothing is more satisfying than Jesus Christ. We have settled for second best. We've been consumed with the counterfeit, the second rate, the cheap thrill, and the moment of glory. We love to have our senses tickled with the latest fad. All the while, God is crying out, like in Isaiah 65, and this is from the Message Bible. I've made myself available to those who haven't bothered to ask. I'm here, ready to be found by those who haven't bothered to look. I kept saying, I'm here, I'm right here, to a nation that ignored me. I reached out day after day to a people who turned their backs on me, people who make wrong turns and who insist on doing things their own way. How can a nation afford to ignore Him? Isn't it about time that we seek God with our heart and find Him? He will always be right there with His arms stretched out towards us. He always invites us to come to Him and experience life, joy, and peace in a new dimension far above the glitter of the world. What is holding us back? What is preventing us from being consumed with God? Do you know that God is consumed with you? Do you know that God thinks about you all the time? Do you know that God's love for you is immeasurable and unfathomable, and to such a degree that it transcends human understanding? Do you know that God longs for you to fall into His embrace and to cleave unto Him with all your heart and strength? Do you know that God wants to be wanted by you? He wants to be loved. He wants to be cherished. He wants to be adored. He wants to be treasured, and He wants to be worshiped. The psalmist says that God's thoughts toward us are so many and so wonderful that they cannot be numbered. God has always loved you, no matter what you've done. God has always been there, even in your darkest hour, even though you may not have realized it. God will never give up on you, for He is a loving God and not just a fickle person. God will never quit chasing you, for His love for you burns deep and true. God is pleading to you, please let me be your God, your everything, your reason for breathing, and let me bear my mighty arm for you and show you my goodness and glory. God has never forgotten you, not even for a second. Don't you want to know this God? Are you desperate for God, or does God only enter the picture when you're on your last rope and you have nowhere else to turn? Do we place God on a shelf, only to take Him off of that shelf when we've tried everything else? Do we realize deep inside of every man and every woman is the intense desire to know His Creator, because we were all made in the image of God? This hunger is never satisfied by things or people or addictions or success, but can only be quenched by an intimate relationship with God Almighty. Is your love for God all-consuming, or is it as an affectionate as a peck on the cheek? Have we allowed the routine of life to replace the adventure of knowing the only true God, whose love is boundless, whose mercy is everlasting, and whose grace is abundant? Are we too busy, too tired, or just too lazy to spend time with God daily? Do we run to do everything else first before we even consider time with God? Do you know God gave everything so you could be brought as an honored son or daughter into the family of God? Would you give all you have to Him without reservation as an act of devoted love? Let us cry out like Job, "My ears have heard you, but now my eyes have seen you." Do you long to experience God on a deeper level? Do you long to enjoy God in all the richness of everything He is? Why not be consumed with God? You will never be disappointed from now throughout all eternity. In Steps to Christ, chapter 8, it says, "Consecrate to God in the morning. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, 'Take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee.'" This is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of God. Commit the keeping of your soul to God and trust in Him. Talk and think of Jesus. Let self be lost in Him. Put away all doubt. Dismiss your fears. Say with the Apostle Paul, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." He's calling you now to come to Him and experience the healing wholeness and deliverance that is available in His Son, Jesus Christ. He crushed all captivity and sin and bondage and paid the ultimate price so we might live. Doesn't He deserve everything? Doesn't He merit all of our passion, all of our love, all of our devotion, all of our worship, all our priorities, and all of our heart? How we could advance the kingdom of God if we were consumed with God. Do you dare to take God at His word and be consumed with Him? Your life and the lives all around you will never be the same. It's time to take the leap. We have nothing to lose. Let us cry out like David with a yearning heart. Psalm 63:1-8 says, You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. I don't think any of us in Tony's family knew that he was a poet. But at his memorial service, there was a poem read that he had written, and it touched my heart. So I keep it in my Bible all the time. I read it all the time. And I just wanted to read it for you today. It's called The Day Will Win. My heart pounds. There is a shaking. I do not understand the burning, dying of the evening sky. Or what is this yearning in the depths of the oceans, calling me to know things I do not want to see or touch? Is there a way? Is it beauty or is it pain to know God in a day? He grows from the earth's riches and all grows well, blessed and eager to do his will. Yet I cannot pierce the thickness of the trees this night. Is someone there? I do not see you. Is it fear I feel, or is it fright? Where are the smiling flowers? My sight is closing from the faithful towers to the blind foreboding. Where is your spirit? The gems of light that sparkle and dance like fireflies' delight. And as the dark ground starts to tremble and the mind's waters roar, I remember, oh Lord, you once walked this path and looked into the eyes that wouldn't look back, and you know the way that I seek. You know this man of palsy and the words I cannot speak. Your lips of joy tasted the cry of death, my death. Yes, there, on the cross, I hear you now, saying, look up, look up. Oh, it's a sweet sound, and one I shall never forget. And I want you to keep speaking to me, asking of me, calling for me, insisting that I let you into my day. Then you draw my eyes upward, past the shadows and strife, past the trees that point upward their whole long life. And suddenly I see them, stars so glorious, like beacons in space, each shining to me in its own special place. And you tell me a secret. I can barely hear it, but I feel it. Those stars, they are so far away, yet their light is shining with me now, shining in my eyes, my head. They are there, yet they are here. And then I know, once and for all, you are right beside me. Even though you are there, and I am here, and the light of your life is mine to see, and mine to be, and I will never be alone. Now I know the secret, not in the darkness, but in the light. Oh God, I will stare forever. You are mine, and mine to keep. And you draw me, with eyes looking up, out of the woods, out of the deep. The night has been baptized with bright, and the stars have stolen my sleep. Then a longing flies. It flies with such might that I cannot believe the day will win over the shadows and over the fright. I know in my heart you will lead the way. Oh, what a hope! Oh, what a joy when all the confusion and evil will cease. And suddenly, nothing else matters because on this quiet night, I have peace. Tony David Chambers. I would like for all of us to be consumed with God from this moment forward. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, may we start each and every day with you. May your love shine through us daily. May we be the hand that reaches out to others. And Lord, love through us and flow through us. Let our hands be your hands, and may we be your house to dwell in. Lord, we don't want to be a dead church. We want to be alive and full of your love. We want your work to be done so that you can come and take us home with you. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.